Hi, everybody.
Hello, hello.
Yo, yo.
I miss you so much it hurts sometimes.
I know, dude. I miss you like crazy. It's
I see all these thirsty yet sexy pictures of you on the Instagram, and Florence and I were joking, like, feeling himself a little bit.
I'm losing a little bit of weight.
Yeah, I saw some of the thirsty pictures.
And I'm like, also...
Just hanging out in my trailer. Just hanging out in my trailer with my new fit, skinny face.
Yeah, you know, the drugs and alcohol are starting to leave my system. Yeah. And the first place it shows up is your face.
I know.
So automatically, you're like, look at this. Who is this motherfucker right here?
I know. Well, you look great. I can't knock it. How's have you started shooting your the show yet?
Yes, it's a lot of fun. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I am having a great time.
Good.
Dove, Chloe, and Yana are awesome. Mm. They're the Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah.
The director, Maggie, she's crushing it. Diablo's crushing it.
Like, awesome.
I'm just having a great time working with everyone.
Yeah.
And we're trying to deliver a good show, you know? We're really trying hard to give the fans something that they'll like, you know, whether you like the idea of Powerpuff being created or you don't. We want you, you know, we're trying to give you something. Everybody's working hard at trying to give you something so at the end of the day, you're like, it was actually pretty good.
Well, I got to tell you, there's quite a pedigree behind it, you know, Diablo Cody and Greg Berlanti. I mean, these are all power hitters. So I think it's going to be amazing. And I've never even seen anything. The only thing I know about Powerpuff Girls is that graphic of the three of them with their fists up. That's all I know.
So yeah, I know.
I'm ready.
I've started watching the old show, and it's funny. You know, the original
was a fun show.
The original series is funny, like laugh out loud funny. I didn't realize that. And it kind of has the animation of like old school Hanna-Barbera type. Yep. You know, it's really cool. Now I will say this: people might not like the way I play the professor because I'm definitely not talking like that. I'm sorry. That shit ain't happening.
How does the professor talk?
He's like, hey, the Powerpuff Girls are such, and you know what I mean? I'm
it's
not
like
doing
a
60s that shit.
Stereotype dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I don't think anyone's expecting you to be a 60s stereotype dad.
I hope not.
Just make it your own.
That's, well, you know, I still have to hold some of the, you know, some of the characteristics and quirkiness that
of course but I mean I think people Tony will be I think everyone will be excited to see what you do with it, and I think there's going to be so many eyeballs on it, and it's just, I'm just proud of you that you're involved with something so cool.
So am I, man. How's Cheaper by the Dozen going?
Incredible. Same thing. I'm just so happy. I love everybody. The kids are so cute. I just love them. They have so many questions, and they're just so, you know, every day that goes by, I watch them bonding with each other more, and we're becoming this family unit, you know? I literally have to be the dad sometimes because, you know, when all the crew and parents and guardians and babysitters and all those people clear away, it's just me and Gabby as the adults. And then, like, these little twins start fighting, and I have to be like, guys, come on, come on, come on, let's focus. Like,
that's fine.
I literally have to be like dad, and they look up to me, you know, as like Uncle Zach, basically. But it's fun, man. I love it. It's too good to be true. It's the same thing that you're saying. It's a great script. You know, as actors, we sometimes are on things we don't love. It's a good opportunity, or I'm doing it for X, Y, or Z reasons. This is one of those things where I love it. Like, I'm having every day I come home smiling.
Yeah. Aww. I know the feeling, man. And it's, you know, there's a young lady on the show. This is her first time ever in front of the camera. Her name's Yana, right? She plays Buttercup. Her first time ever on camera. She did a lot of She did a couple of some things on Broadway. She was in Jagged Little Pill with when Diablo did that with Alanis Morissette, and then she got the tour. She got the tour for Hamilton, and right when it was about to go off, COVID happened. Right.
Oh man.
And so she's, you know, she's like brand new, fresh, spanking new to the television film industry. And it's so refreshing to see, because I remember when I was like that, and just like her innocence and the questions she asks, and like, it's like so amazing. And I keep telling her, please don't ever lose this energy. Always stay on this energy.
Yeah.
But you know, in time, you know, Hollywood will get to you.
You get jaded. Yeah, that's, you know, another. It's funny. It's very analogous situation I'm in too, Donald, because a lot of these kids, you know, some of these kids are really little. And even the young lady who's playing my 16-year-old daughter is, I believe she's 18 or 19, just just started NYU, and they're all so wide-eyed. And it's, but I love, like, explaining things, and, you know, they have, the little kids have tons of questions. What's that? You know, the, whether it's crew gadgets, like, what's that for? What's that? Or they yell some jargon on the set, and the kids are like, what does that mean? And I love being, like, the elder statesman, like, well, kids, let me tell you what that means. And so that's fun. And I thought of you, Donald, because without spoiling anything for anyway, there's a moment where a character, one of my kids, has to hit a three-point shot in front of a whole gym of people. And I was thinking of the Scrubs episode where you where we're doing that one, and you had to hit that shot. And this young lady is so talented, and she's an athlete, but wasn't a great basketball player. And she's been training and training and training and training and training. And there we were in the stands, and she's supposed to, like, hit, like, this all-important three. And she keeps missing it. She keeps missing it. I'm, like, under pressure. I'm, like, biting my fingers for, like her dad. Like, I'm, yeah. As though I'm her dad, I start biting my and everyone, you know, because we know they can edit it together, even when the three doesn't go in, we all cheer because, you know, well, they'll edit it. So it looks – and we're thinking, like, how many times are they going to give her to, like, do this? They ideally want it to be real without cutting to the rim. You know, she misses – I don't know. But we're all fake cheering even when it doesn't go in. And then in my mind, I'm thinking, like, okay, if I was directing, I'd probably give her three more tries. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Like, and but I'm just sitting there. And then she fucking hits it. And I swear to God, as though I was her father, I leapt to my feet. And I was so elated. And then right she on. And in the scene, she looks at me and she points. And I was just like, I could have cried. I was so proud right of her.
That's amazing. That's,
oh, that's wonderful.
That's so sweet.
That's so awesome, dude. That's so awesome, man.
Yeah.
It's really great, man. It's really awesome to live through other people's learning experiences.
Yeah.
Again. Like, I do it with my children all the time, but, you know, my kids aren't actors, and, you know, I wouldn't necessarily put them in the game. So when I'm meet somebody who's in the same profession as me, and and I'm watching them literally grow as they're working. It's just so endearing. It's overwhelming. Like, I feel you. Like, you want to cry. I love it, man. How are you guys doing, man? You know,
so why is your camera off? We want to see your beautiful hair.
Sorry, I'm trying to text our guests and let them know that we will be with them in a moment.
Okay, well, I really like your new hairstyle, and I want to segue from your new hairstyle into, well, should we count in, Donald? What? We have an exciting show today. First of all, this is a very funny episode. I want to explain to people that why we're jumping around a little bit. It's because we, you know, again, you have to bear with us as the four of us figure out how to bring you the show every week. It's a little tricky with our schedules, but we're doing it, and we love doing it. We booked Shea Serrano, who everybody loves, who's like a Scrubs expert and a brilliant writer, for My Life in Four Cameras, because that's the one he wanted to do. And that, as we all know, that's a special episode where we spoof the sitcom. Shea wasn't available this Sunday, so we're going to do Shea next Sunday, right, Joelle?
Yes, that's correct.
And so we jumped ahead to 418, My Roommates, which is a very funny episode that
Shit
we're going to talk about today.
Shit had me rolling.
Rolling, rolling. And as we had promised, and people have asked, we brought on three of our stand-ins from the show, and we'll explain again and remind you what stand-ins mean and are in a moment, but I'm very excited for this episode. And also, we're going to do an update on Joelle and her date that she met during the live show, thanks to all the people who attended.
Oh,
and Joelle, your hair looks very cute.
It looks
very into this.
I really appreciate it, guys. It's
how long did that take? Did you do that yourself? You didn't do that yourself.
Yeah.
I see. It's just the front. I thought it was the whole thing.
No. I have a hat on. Thank God.
Oh, that's very cute. That's a good look for you.
I just twist. Thank you.
And Daniel, I see the DJ turntables are set up. Have you been practicing? Do DJs call it practicing?
Yeah, no, that's the right word. I'm doing a DJ stream tonight for the first time in a long time, so I had to get it set up and get it.
Nice.
Daniel, we gotta bury the lead. Come on.
Oh, please.
Well, the timing will be small off. Cookies. Will people be able to watch it on Tuesday or no?
Sure, yeah. The what's called the video on demand, if they go to my Twitch channel, they can watch it after.
Well, remind people how to watch you do your thing.
You can go to twitch.tv/DJ_Daniel,
D-A-N-I-L. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Donald, count us into America's favorite podcast.
Before I do that, that was like a real, that's what I'm talking, that was like a drunk, that's what I'm talking about. Like,
mean?
I think I was drunk when I did that.
I don't know.
This is the way I said, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
You were definitely stoned when you said this.
Wu-Tang forever. Forever, ever. Forever, ever. I still mean it now. How's the sober living going, buddy? Before we count in.
I am on the 15th. I'll be 2 months no alcohol.
Wow. You didn't even drink on your birthday, hey?
No, sir. I had a couple friends over, and they were all enjoying frozen margaritas, and I watched them enjoy them.
I'm supposed to... I haven't drank in 2 weeks, and I'm supposed to go out and get wine tonight with the head makeup artist on our show. And I'm dreading it because I really don't want to drink, but I want to hang out with the dude. You know
what
I mean?
Well, that's the problem. By the way, this is a problem for the and other. I'm sure there's people listening going, oh, I would try, you know, taking an alcohol break, but oh, going out for being social is, and that is tricky. And I recommend what I do is I get something that's a little bit special, like a ginger beer, which I really happen to like. Because it tastes really good to me. It's kind of the equivalent of getting of when I say I have a GT's kombucha, although the rest of the bar probably won't have a GT's kombucha. But you can get a ginger beer or something else that you find that you don't normally get that doesn't have booze in it. But, dude, I'm telling you, once you get past the initial, like, oh, everyone's having a drink and I wish I had a drink, I'm so stoked. Like, when I make it to the parking lot and I actually made it through dinner and didn't have a drink, I'm like, yes! Because the only part you care about is, like, the sort of socializing. We're so used to it. We've been doing it since we were freaking teenagers, most of us.
21, yeah.
Well, yeah, or I was doing it when I was – I drank more in high school than I ever did the rest of my life. But, you know, so we're just conditioned to it, and it is awkward. You know, that's the only time that I miss having a drink is when your body – we have this, like, Pavlovian response, like, time to socialize, drink. Right. Which is weird, and we're just used to it. So, but I'm telling you, once you make, if you successfully make it past that stage and just had a non-alcoholic drink, you feel super stoked.
Right on. Yeah. So no weed, no booze. 2 weeks, I'm good. I'm loving it. Yeah. I like the way my face is starting to look.
You know, as my therapist says, nothing beats a streak.
No, you know? Nothing beats a streak.
So
well,
it's like
a streak can be beaten, but yes, nothing beats a streak.
No, what he was saying was that if you, whatever you're trying to do, whether it's meditate every day or do some exercise every day or take a booze break, it's, he said there's so much power in a streak because you don't want to lose your streak. You don't want to fuck up your streak.
Right.
Something I always did, I think I've mentioned this on the podcast, is just print out a paper calendar. You can find a free one on the web. And then I would just give myself a smiley face on the day every time I was doing something I wanted to do every day, whether it was meditate or take an alcohol break. And then even just looking at the calendar, like, I'm not going to fuck up my streak by putting a fucking X on the day. I want my smiley face.
Right. It's crazy, though, man. Once you freaking decide to do this, out of the blue, everybody and their mama want to smoke with you. Or everybody and their mama. Like, look, do you know how many, you know what my cast gifts were? Like, the gifts that they gave me? Shit like this. Look at this.
Let's see it.
What am I going to do with this, dude? It's like, what are you doing?
Re-gifted.
That's the only way to do
it. Listen, I have this assistant on the movie, and she brought in this beautiful bottle of wine from the producers. I'm sure it was expensive because it was my birthday present. And she's like, oh, just reminding you that you got that bottle of wine from the producers. And I said, oh, thank you so much. She goes, where do you want me to put it? I said, in your bag. It's for you.
Right.
And she was like, really? She goes, this is like expensive. I was like, I know. I'm not drinking right now. That's all you. Have a good weekend. She was like, okay.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. All right. So here we go, y'all. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of doctors and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donno.
Mm-hmm. All right, now we got to start off. Joelle, first of all, has there been any updates? Has the date? So to remind people who weren't at the live show, we did a dating game, and all of the attendees of the in the audience voted. We had a live poll, which person Joelle should take on a Zoom date. We all voted on it amongst ourselves, and then, of course, we left it to Joelle. And did you have the date yet?
Yeah, we did. It was actually this morning.
Wait, before you answer, okay. Daniel, I think we should play the theme song for Joelle's dating segment.
Here we go.
It's the most fire song ever. Here we go.
Get the word out all over the town. Joelle Monae.
and you could be making an X. Joel Monique is down, get down. Oh yeah. Joel Monique is down to get down.
Woo!
Wow, that is, I think that's what they call a bop, Daniel, in DJ lingo.
I believe you're correct on that one.
Okay. Yeah. I love the lyrics. The lyrics are the best. All right, Joel, go ahead. How did it go?
It went really well. It was fun. We sort of talked about it before, and I was like, oh, 15 minutes is kind of short. Like, let's do half an hour. And by the end of it, we've been talking for 2 hours. We were going to watch a movie. Never got to that.
Oh, my God.
It was fun. We, like, exchanged a lot of, like, television and manga recs. So we're going to,
wait,
like,
television and what?
Manga.
Manga?
Like, it's like, it's
the comic book form
Japanese,
of anime.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. And so she reads a ton of that. And so I was like, okay, so I'm going to find the books and read and watch the shows. And it was fun. And we'll text about them. And then I think in a week or so, we're going to try to watch A Knight's Tale. She hasn't seen it since like middle school. And it's one of my favorite movies.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So A Knight's Tale. I don't know A Knight's Tale.
Yeah, you do. Ooh. With Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger.
And
I never saw it.
Alan Tudyk.
Oh, it's so good. Alan Tudyk, ooh. Heath Ledger, the dude who plays Vision.
Paul Bettany.
And
Donald just knows them as their Marvel characters. Dude who plays Vision.
And then what's the young lady's name, man? She was so hot.
I can't remember. She's
really long
so
time.
Good. Yeah.
She was on fire for a minute, and then she's in a bunch of indies now.
Shannon Sossaman.
Oh, yeah. She was fuego for a sec.
Yeah.
I mean, in her career, yeah. she's a knockout. Yeah. Wow, Joel, that's really good. I think that might be why you seem to be smiling ear to ear, even though you're sitting there.
I had a very good nap, so it's just been an all around great
Joel
day.
Joel Monique is down, down to get down.
Oh yeah, Daniel, maybe that's you should work that song into your set tonight.
You know what? And for any of the Scrubs fans that are watching, they might enjoy that.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, shit, deep cut.
Deep cut. I'm happy for you, Joel. Will you promise to keep us updated?
Yes, I'll keep you updated.
It's nice to have, you know, when you're single and it's been a pandemic, it's nice to have a little someone to flirt and chat with, I bet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was there flirting?
Of course
there was
definite flirting.
It was an actual date.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very real date.
So nice. Excited.
So cute.
Now make sure that you at least have a hangout once per week so we can, you know. I'm serious.
Wow,
weekly.
You put a lot of pressure on this relationship already. It just started.
Okay. Well, if it doesn't feel natural, don't do that. But I would be great for the fans, for our listeners to get a weekly update. I'm sure everyone is very invested in your love life as much as I am, Joel.
I'm sure too. I have to. I'll talk to Sam about how much you know.
Tell Sam for the good of. Tell we'll Sam for the good up. Of the show. You guys need to schedule a weekly date. Put the pressure on to him.
Okay.
All right. Let's bring in. Shall we bring in our stand-ins?
Yes.
Let's bring in our guests. Yes.
Our guests.
I'm so excited for this.
We will explain to you who these lovely people are again, I promise, because you might be confused. But
I haven't seen two of them in like since we wrapped.
I haven't either. And I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
Well, let's bring them all in.
Here are Deontay, Scott, and Renee.
There we go.
Applause.
Deontay, put your picture up, bro.
Wait, oh my God. This is so surreal.
What the fuck, yo?
Deontay! Oh, you got
it.
You guys, I feel like I could cry.
Wow.
Why has Renee not aged one day? Renee,
I know, right?
I know.
Please. No. Come on.
Yes.
Stop
oh my
smile.
God. All right, well,
Scott,
let me...
you look old as fuck, but Renee, you have not aged one day.
No, I'm just, it's amazing. All right,
I have a kid. I have a 4-year-old. So
you do, Scott?
Yes.
Scott has. Oh my God.
So
let's
if I do look
get
old.
Into
I have an 8-year-old.
Renee,
and Renee has an 8-year-old?
Yes.
Holy
oh my
cow.
God.
And Deontay?
I got 3 cats.
Yes!
All right, let's get the audience caught up a bit, oh you guys. God. And Deontay, thanks for coming out of the helicopter to come join us on the podcast.
He's playing Call of Duty.
That joke is related to his giant headset, everyone, that you can't see. You guys, that's Joel and Daniel, our producer and editor engineer.
Pleasure, Mitchell.
Audience, guys, I'm going to describe to people, because a lot of people who listen to this don't know anything about film production, what a stand-in is, and then I want you guys to clarify or change anything I say. But we were very, very close to these three people because Scott, Deontay, and Renee were me, Donald, and Sarah's stand-ins. What that means is when you're making a film or a TV show, we go and we rehearse, and then the cinematographer and the camera crew and everybody needs people to light while we go do hair and makeup and change our costumes and, in Donald's case, play video games. They need to rehearse the camera moves. They need to set the lighting. They need to, you know, they need people that are exact height, our skin tone, and ideally have the same hair color so they can adjust all the lighting. And so that was these guys. Scott was my stand-in, Deontay was Donald's, and Renee was Sarah's. And we spent so many years being very close with these three people and have about 10 million inside jokes because we spent the whole day with them. Guys, what did I get wrong? What did I get right? Chime in.
Well, we basically stood on tape. That's what we did.
Yes.
So when the DP and when Zach, you know, you guys are doing what you do or setting up, you know, you could be out with another camera crew. We were splintered so much into different crews to sort of multitask. And so you don't have to stand there and get exhausted for an hour under hot lights. We would stand there and,
Don't forget, Scott, you know, Scott had to beat all the voiceovers. So all the voiceovers.
Yes. Don't forget that.
That's right. I'm sorry, Scott. I already have minimized what you did. Scott, not just saying this, you're a good actor, which really helped because, you know, the voiceovers were such a character in Scrubs and we had to time out what the timing would be. Like that whole voiceover is going to be here during the scene. So Scott, I would read them the first rehearsal just so Scott could see like the rough idea of how I was going to do it. And then he would read it in the scene. So Scott was kind of in almost every scene we did.
Yeah.
I mean, I became good at mimicking your style, I guess, in your time.
And I always appreciated, Scott, how you didn't, you know, you would act it great, but you wouldn't like try and like upstage me and do the moment. Like, you know, a different kind of actor would be like, well, I heard how Zach's going to do it, but I have a different take on it.
That would be the times when I would read it for when Scott was missing. You remember those times, Zach, whenever Scott was missing? Yeah. And I would read it and you'd be like, no, nobody.
Yeah. I'd be like, Deontay, bring it down like 10 notches, okay?
Deontay was trying to be on the camera, man. Like, Deontay probably out of all of the stand-ins was in the show the most, right?
Yes.
Like, everyone.
By far. Yeah. No, but you all had lines. Renee, do you remember what your line? We just saw your line. I think you're a bartender.
Yes. I remember the first. Well, I was always so camera shy. In fact, I didn't really want to do a lot of that stuff because I was like a stage performer and a dancer. Yeah. And so for me, it was like, oh my gosh, I can see all the people and I'm performing in front of this whole crew, all these people I knew.
Yeah.
And of course, as soon as I come down from the dressing room, I'd be like, oh, you're going to screw up. You're going to screw up. Oh, you look so cute in your scrubs. It was like, oh my gosh, now I'm going to screw up. But I remember my first line. I think it was in Bill Lawrence was directing. I was a bartender, and my line was, "It's an open bar."
Yeah, this one, we just saw this one. I think it was to Kelso, right, Donald?
Yes, Ken, because I was so comfortable with Ken. I loved Ken, and I remember Bill. He often came to set, and he would kind of change a line. And he changed mine, and I remember thinking, I know what to say. Don't change it.
I've been working on it. It's an open bar for 2 weeks.
I know what I'm going to say. I'm nervous anyway. Oh, my God. And he goes, add cutie. And I said, okay, it's an open bar, cutie. He goes, that's it. And you put that in the show. I had the Bill line change thing. That's so like, it's so much a part of the Scrubs culture, you know,
right.
coming on and changing, you know.
That's sweet. I remember we were always rooting for you guys to get lines because, you know, it goes without saying they would get a much juicier check if they had a line. So I was always happy when, you know, they would throw you guys, you know, something to say. Now, Deontay, you did seem to be the most aggressive at working it because as we rewatched the series, you're on it a lot. And
you're not only did you do standing work, but you sometimes did background work, and you will always Mark the Orderly or whatever the character's name was.
Hey, man. I had a plan. No, I got to say, you know, Bill was like super nice and generous. And I went up and asked him towards the end of the first season, just, hey, if something seems like it might fit me, is it cool if I audition for it? And he was so generous. He's like, oh, I got you. And then maybe a couple weeks later, I looked in the script and he's like, oh, that's you.
Oh, right, great.
That's awesome.
A good story.
Bill is the best. Awesome.
Yeah.
Also, I also remember being terrified during that line because it was with you and Johnny C. And I was terrified of Johnny C. at this point.
Yeah, I still am.
Yeah, right? And right before we're doing the scene, we're you know, they've already clapped the slate and they're just about to call action. And Johnny C. yells to me from across the room, hey, D, you know what you do with when you have the ball on the 1 yard line, right? And I yell back, I go, score. He goes, no, don't fucking fumble. And it was just that's terrifying.
Do you remember what your first line was, Deontay?
Yeah, it was two words. I think you called me by the wrong name, and I was just kind of giving JD, I think I said, hey Bert, you know, because he called me by the wrong name because my name wasn't Bert.
I remember you had a very critical line when I think it's later, we haven't gotten to it, when the janitor finally says his name, Glenn Matthews, and then I think Deontay walks up and he's like, hey, something, whatever, is a different name. And like the audience finally thought they got it. It was Glenn Matthews. And then Deontay walks up. They're like, hey, Timmy, or whatever. What about you, Scott? Do you remember your first line?
I don't really remember the line. I remember that our AD, Franklin, called the scene got better. Yeah, got pushed, but he was like, oh, we're putting your character in a cast. So I had a full leg cast and this sort of like brace that went to my groin. And that was going to take hours. But Franklin is like, oh no, your scene is pushed. So I went, I don't know, got coffee. I went and chilled. And then I got back into my car and I had like 20 voicemails and Franklin's like, The scene moved up. Okay, here, we need to put that... Can I swear?
Yeah, curse
we need to put that fucking cast on. He was like screaming at me on the phone, get to the hospital now. And like frantically get in. I forgot who did it, but they're wrapping my leg frantically in this cast. I'm trying to figure out the scene. Like I had to wheel a wheelchair at the same time and spin. And it was a Steadicam shot. So I had to pass the camera going facing Kelso and then spin around and talk to him with this cast on, in a panic, half-wrapped cast. And then it was like, I think it was just like, hey, Bob. Like I said, hey, Bob, or like said, what's up, Bob, or something to him. And he made fun of me because I had a cast on or something. But it was that sort of thing where it was like, you never knew what was going to happen.
Well, I'm always so excited when I see you guys. First of all, I don't think, Donald just said as you were coming on, I don't think that I've seen you guys. Maybe I've seen you, Deontay. I don't think I've seen Renee and Scott since we wrapped.
No.
Yeah, I haven't seen Renee since Renee left early.
Oh, and yeah, we should say Renee and Scott both left early. Renee, what season did you leave?
I can't remember. I know it's been almost 15 years because I left because I got married, moved to Texas. And this is about 15 years now that I've been married. So it was 15 years ago. And I don't know. That must have been season, I'm guessing, 7?
Yeah, 7. I feel like it was 7.
Yeah, me too. Right.
And then Shalina came on and we called her New Renee.
Oh, gosh.
No. No one can replace Renee. No.
No one could replace you, but we wanted to make her feel guilty that she, like, I think we were like trying to convince her she took a job away from our friend Renee. So we're like, listen, we're just going to call you New Renee. Meanwhile, you'd left because you got married and moved away. And then Scott, what season did you leave?
I think it was around the same time. I wasn't involved with any of the newer characters, like the, you know, when you guys started the new.
But that wasn't until 9. So
was that 9? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was a while ago. I wasn't involved with that. So probably like 7 or 8 as well.
But you didn't go to the Bahamas either.
I did go to the Bahamas.
You did go to the Bahamas.
Yeah, thanks for remembering all the fun times we had with Scott in the Bahamas.
I was on Chung Beach. Yeah, Chung Beach.
So that was season 8. Then you went all the way to the almost
Okay,
the
so
end.
Maybe. Oh, you know what I did? I left and then I came back. I left one season.
You tried to get out and we pulled you back in.
Yeah. I mean, it was the best job ever. I couldn't, you know. But I, you know, I never really wanted to be an actor. Like I'm a documentary filmmaker now. Like I want to be behind the camera. So, I was maybe good at mimicking your voiceover, but
no,
I just sort of
listen,
like gave...
For me, from my perspective, is you guys were ideal because we just all had we had to spend so much time together, and I just have so many great memories of cracking up with you three. The three of us who were the leads of the show and the three of you guys, we were just together all the time.
Yeah.
And we just, I look back on those times and just, my eyes well from laughter of just thinking about how many fucking times we would just have so many inside jokes and be laughing. And it was great because it kept the vibe up. Like we had to be like trying to be funny on camera for 16 hours a day, and having you guys be there and just giggling with you guys was so awesome.
Well, I often tell people, you know, we spent so much time together. There was nowhere else to go. We were in this hospital and we all got to there. I mean, there was no iPhone either. And so people weren't on their phones all the time.
Right.
It was like we were all talking and we got to know each other like a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think I realized at the moment how special that was until I got out. I mean, here we are. We're 20 years older. You know, and then we get
really,
into the
I'm
world.
I'm not just saying this, Renee. You do not look a day older. What is your secret?
Oh.
She's glowing.
I don't know.
Texas water.
It ain't the Texas water. We know about Texas's water. It ain't that
You're
good. We know that already.
I mean, I'm in my 40s, so I you know. No.
You look amazing.
Thank you. It was like the whole crew, the cast, everybody got along so well. We were all together every day, and I said to somebody later in another job that I had, we went to work every day, we had fun, we laughed, we got things done, and we got paid for it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it didn't feel like a job.
It was the dream job.
Yeah,
knew you're gonna have a good day every day. You knew you're gonna laugh like every day.
Yeah, you knew. Yes, yeah. I agree, Deonta. You knew no matter what, you were gonna have a couple belly laughs that day.
And everybody was so nice. I got along with everybody, and I can't name one person that, you know, there was no diva stuff. Bill Lawrence said that, you know, he would not accept jerks, you know.
It was his no a-hole policy, right?
You guys like, can say
it.
Yeah.
So if you want to curse, if you can see
I really don't, I'm not comfortable with you guys censoring yourselves.
It's
really
all right. Renee lives in Texas.
Maybe if
she
you're
might
in Texas,
not be cursing.
Are you not allowed to curse?
She's not allowed to curse.
No.
She's like, do you guys not know about the Texas rule about
Believe
cursing?
We're not allowed. I love Texas, but yeah. No,
say, yeah.
I can fucking curse.
Oh, okay, there she is.
There it is. DG and I, we still play golf together.
Yes.
Yeah, I see Donald. I've seen you a couple times, Zach. Not nearly enough, but I see Donald. We play golf. Have a good time out there.
Now, has Donald's game gotten much better, Deonta? Because that's what we hear.
Oh, yeah. No. His game has got a lot better. And you know what? It got a lot better quick. I don't know what he was doing. I think he was taking lessons like 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
First couple years. But
you gotta grind, Joe. You gotta grind.
He's got the kids into it, too. He's got the kids at the driving range.
Dude, I'll go play golf with Deonta. We went and played like somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, and we ran into his brother and his nephew.
Yeah.
Freaking golfing. His whole family is into sports.
Deonta always knows everybody.
Yes,
Deonta.
Yes. Any person, we had our normal mm-hmm. circle of background folks, and then, you know, lots of other random people would rotate in. And Deonta always knew them. He'd be like, hey, Deonta, you're like the mayor.
Well, he was like Fonzie. We called him Black Fonz.
Yeah, specifically the females he knew.
Yes.
He knew them very well.
Yes, that's true. Deonta, are you single? Are you dating someone?
No, I've been dating someone for maybe the last 8 years. I hope I got that right. He's going to kill me.
They live together, yo.
We live together.
And Deonta is
not
anyone.
Together.
It's not anyone we know, like not someone from Scrubs.
I know her.
Not someone from Scrubs. Not from Scrubs. Yeah, Donald's better.
By the way, do you know this, guys? This Deonta, you know this. You'll be able to articulate this better than I can. So the two stand-ins that replaced Renee and Scott were Shalina and Jesse, and drumroll, they got married.
Yeah.
No.
So I think they got those of you, they have two kids.
They got kids.
So those of you who wish that JD and Elliot stayed together, the two stand-ins of them did. And they got married.
Didn't your stunt people got married too?
Yes.
Yeah, they've since broken up.
They broke up. But they met, if you remember that bungee stunt, they met that day doing the bungee stunt, and then they fell in love and got married.
In Pasadena, the bridge?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We don't like to tell the end of the story that they got divorced because it's not as romantic.
That's
no.
All right, we need to go to break real quick.
We're going to go to break, and when we come back, you guys are going to join us in looking at this very funny episode. We'll be right back. And we're back. So, guys, I don't know if you even listen to the podcast. Have you guys heard this podcast before?
Yes, I have.
A few times.
That was a very tepid response, Donald.
Yeah, I have. That was very tepid.
I was just driving back from Oregon a couple days ago, and I listened to a bunch in a row.
So, guys, don't be shy. We're going to talk about the episode. Please chime in. Anything you thought was funny, any memory you have of it, anything. It could be totally random. If you listen to the show, which it sounds like you don't, you know that it's totally...
I will say, Donald, I think I've heard it more. I heard the episode with your mother, and I've heard it more than her. I'm probably in the upper, maybe 5 to 10 episodes, to be honest, I've listened to.
Oh, you've listened to it more than my mom has.
Then. Yeah.
That's a very low bar. and you know what else it leads me to believe? One. You know what?
I think my mom listened to, before you go any further, I think my mom listened to the episode she was on. Oh, and then the first episode, that's it.
Wait, first of all, I think Scott listened, I think just outed himself because he said, I listened to the one with your mom, which means he knew he was coming on here and frantically listened to the last episode.
Yeah. You got me. Okay.
By the way, Donald, did your mom like the playback? Did she say she had a good time on the show?
She hasn't spoken to me about it.
Oh, maybe that's not good.
I don't know how she feels about it. She said she had a great time. I know that.
And all right, good. Well, we had a good time talking to her. She always makes me smile. So the episode starts with, I'm making out with Kylie, right?
JD got jungle fever. JD got jungle fever.
Yep.
JD got jungle fever. He's in love.
Now, Christy Farris, who plays Kylie, is very talented and beautiful. And she, Kylie, the character, is taking it very slow. Very, very, very slow.
Very, very, very slow.
Very slow. There is nothing.
Have you ever been in a relationship, like, out of high school that went slow like that?
No. Not
never,
as a,
right?
As
not as an adult.
As an adult. Deontay said, not
definitely
for long.
Definitely
not. I'm all for taking it slow, but I mean the implication in the episode is that it's been like weeks and we're just kissing. We're not even like rolling around groping. We're just kissing.
Yeah.
JD is really into her if he's taking it that slow.
Yeah, you kind of got to be into somebody if you're willing to go that slow.
Well, he is, but it's funny. My first laugh out loud moment is when you cut to me and while I'm kissing her, I'm massaging my jaw because I'm so sore from kissing her, and that's all we're doing.
And I love the plan that he formulates to get to stay over. The first thing is, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's so cold outside. Yeah.
It's like the baby it's cold outside song. I'm like, so freezing.
It's cold out there.
Yeah, I remember those voiceovers, like when JD's like sort of searching his thoughts, like what can I do? I always remember like it just comes back to me, like your voice and the lines, like so many sides were like very voiceover heavy. So
yeah, we put you to work in this one. Now you were also, I'm imagining, reading the teddy bear. Now Donald, you are the voice of the teddy bear.
I'm the voice of the teddy bear. Yes,
I love that it was a brown bear on her bed.
Yeah,
I did.
Donald, did that get decided after the fact, or did Bill say you were the teddy bear?
I'm sure it got decided after the fact, and they were like, "We need somebody to do the teddy bear." Danny Rose, who was doing post at the time, was like, "We need a teddy bear. Do you want to do it?" This was a time when we used to all, like, you and I used to love doing like the obscure, hard to place voiceovers, like
yes,
watching Jerry Springer on television or something like that. We love to do that. So
well, I thought it was a genius choice that the brown bear on the bed is played by you. Bear. And he was kind of a dick. He's a dick.
He is a bear.
The bear does not want me infringing on his woman.
No. That's his cuddle
kind
buddy.
Kind of scary. Yeah,
yeah, he literally
it's
says,
a little weird, yeah.
He goes, hit the bricks, bitch, you got no game.
Yeah, it's like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's mean.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if they allowed me to do that VO. Maybe they pulled Deontay in to do that one.
hit the bricks, bitch, you got no game.
Listen, man, I understand because that bear was cuddling with that character.
Yes.
Every night, especially if she's not doing it with JD or anybody else, she's definitely hugging on that bear something.
So I got to tell you, now listen, I'm very proud. I think that this is one of my proudest improvs in the whole series. Donald, you know what it is. Sorry about the Tuesday, guys.
Tuesday. Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't remember.
That one, I still use that
I
now.
Do remember
I use
that.
You do?
I come out of the bathroom sometimes and I'm like, sorry about the Tuesday.
I don't remember. I remember that line was non-scripted. I do remember that the joke was, I think, I don't know what I was revealing. Was it always revealing me peeing or pooing or something?
You were always revealed to be pooing.
Okay, but I don't know what my line was, but right. I added, sorry about the Tuesday, guys, and I that's one of my proudest improvs in 9 years of being on the show.
Oh my God.
I mean, can you imagine you're cuddling your fucking partner in a tub and your roommate is shitting in the same room?
No. Well, Donald's reaction was just priceless, though. It must have been like one take because you guys were like about to like break. It was so funny.
Why would Donald? Did Donald look like he was on the verge of laughing?
Yeah, he was like just like.
That's our voice when we were holding it. Do you remember when we guys would do that to Sarah to fuck up all her takes?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And when she starts laughing, it was over. Like, it's
yeah.
Like 10 minutes.
If you got her, yes. If you got her going, it was over. And then Randall's like,
yeah.
The line producer would come in.
The line producer who was in charge of the budget would come in and be like, give us the evil eye. Because we were like into overtime. But no one could hear us because Donald and I would just do it so soft that only Sarah could hear. And we'd go, and Sarah would start cracking up and she'd be like, shut up. And we'd be like, Sarah, everybody wants to go home.
We're trying to work. We want to work, Sarah.
Sarah, everybody is tired. They want to go be with their families. Stop it. And we'd be like,
oh my gosh.
What was up with Jordan's hat?
It was effective.
What was up with the hat? Is there a joke about the hat?
Is that, I don't know. Was it a stylish, maybe back in, let's see when this, I don't have the date in front of me, but maybe that was a style at the moment. It was like a, what do you call that? A Dutch boy?
I don't know what it was.
Renee, you know style. That weird hat she's wearing. Dutch boy?
Renee's like, I didn't watch the episode.
No, no, Renee. Actually, no, what I noticed about the episode, actually, for me, is that oftentimes when Sarah, because a lot, this episode did not have a lot of her in it. Mm-hmm. And whenever she'd have a day off, I would too. So I remember watching the episode and being like, Ed McMahon was on Scrubs. I didn't know that.
I know. That was so random.
You know who wasn't on this episode at all was Ken.
Ken.
Oh, really?
There was no Kelso in this episode at all.
That's interesting.
That's true.
And we should mention another member of our posse is not with us today, but we should have her on sometime. Is Katya. who was Judy's stand-in, and she was in our posse as well, and we had tons of good times with her.
Yeah.
So we gotta have Katya come.
We gotta
on
have
well.
Katya yes. come on too.
I know this episode had a lot of Turk and Carla together, so that meant that me and and Katya were together a lot.
So wait, we did the bathtub scene. Did you guys have to get in the water also?
We got in the bathtub, but pre-water.
I'm about to say, because that's gross.
I know. You know that they wouldn't have them get in the same water as you guys.
Well, nowadays they wouldn't. COVID times they wouldn't. But back then, that shit.
Oh, I want to talk about. So, ideally, for camera and lighting purposes, your stand-in is your exact height. Now, Deontay and Donald. Deontay, it's very frustrating if the camera operator sets up a shot on someone 5'5", and then a 6-foot tall person walks in.
Now, 5'8", Dick.
All right, listen, Deontay, tell everyone, because Donald brought in Deontay because they were buddies.
Well, no, we worked together before. I've known Deontay since Clueless. So here's here's
tell
a skinny
him, but I want us. Them to tell. I want Deontay to tell him about his shoes.
Okay, but we'll get to the shoes. But Deontay, I met Deontay on Clueless. He would do background on Clueless, right? And then he went over to Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Right.
And when I did guest spotted on Sabrina, he was there and he was the stand-in for my character. And I was like, dude, do you want to do this like all the time? Like, I've known you since Clueless. We've got a great repartee. Let's make this happen. And so when Scrubs started, there was another guy in. They hired somebody else. And he had to leave. And I was like, I got the perfect guy. It's Deontay. And Deontay came in. And Deontay, yes, is 5'8".
And I'm 6 feet. How tall are you? You're 6 feet.
I'm 5'11/6 feet. Like, I'm in between.
You can be a typical actor and round that up to 6 feet.
I'm 6 feet. And so Deontay comes in, and they're like, yo, what are we going to do about this? But luckily, we had this dude, JK, who was also a stand-in on the show.
Yeah. Right. He was Neil's stand-in.
No, he was Johnny's stand-in and Neil's stand-in.
He wanted to be Neil's as well.
And so I'll let Deontay take it from there.
Well, to get up to Donald's height, I basically wore these platform shoes that had 3 or 4 inches of platforms on them.
They were platform sneakers.
Platform sneakers.
But you would have to run in them shits.
You had to run in those.
Yeah, you'd have to run, have to play basketball in them, all of that stuff.
Oh, my God.
I have so many questions. Deontay, is it true that you, for your own job security, went out and had them made yourself?
I did. I went out and had those made. Yeah, exactly.
The show
paid for them. They asked me to get
Oh, they did. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were worried that they were going to can you, even though you were Donald's friend, because it made no sense to have a stand-in that's not the same height.
Oh, no, I wasn't worried. But, I had to go to an interview to be Donald's stand-in, and they brought in, 4 other guys. And, you're standing outside. You guys are already working. We're standing outside, and people come out, and they just look at you and not say anything. Like, the AD comes out. The director of photography
so comes
out and looks. Yeah, so awkward. They just look at you. No one says anything. And it's me standing between all 6 foot guys. they're looking. It looks like they're thinking about it. Like, who are they going to pick? And then they come out.
Hey, should we go with the guy, the one guy? How about we go with the one guy who's nowhere near Donald's height?
Yeah. Well, I had the opposite thing happen. I actually knew Franklin. And I go from he was like, hey, there's this show, you want to come work on it? And he sent all these girls down from Central Casting that looked nothing like Sarah. So I walk into the room, I'm the only blonde young lady in there. There's all these older women who are like brunette, and I'm thinking, I'm in the wrong place. Well, it turned out that Franklin kind of stacked the deck in my favor so that Donnie nice would have to there. Pick me.
That's nice of him.
That sounds right, yeah.
But I don't know why Deontay, I don't know, they must have whispered in the DP's ear, that's Donald's friend. I mean,
after they did the whispering and they sent everyone home, they said they're going with me and they let the other guys go.
The other guys must have been like, what the fuck?
That's Hollywood,
And I walk in the hospital with John Inwood, the director of photography, and he whispers over to me, good thing you know Donald, because there's some really good matches over there.
Yeah. to be fair, they didn't really love me either, especially because, Zach, your hair was so there's so much volume to it.
Yeah.
It was spiked up so high.
Yeah.
And they were like, you're a little too pale, and your hair is like, I mean, I didn't have that volume in my hair. I'm sorry.
It's just not washing it, Scott. And if you really want to achieve it now, it's just
not
dirt.
Washing. But I do have, I dug up a couple pictures of me in the Zach wig, which I have.
Oh my God.
Those at home can't see.
No, wait,
see it.
Why did you double me or something?
I did. I doubled quite a bit. And like, I did, I mean, to be fair, I don't know if they would do this now, but I did a couple of stunts. Like, with Noon, like, not real hardcore stunts, but I rode the moped and like went like, they'd be like, get in the JD wig, and
they call that what do they call it? It's like, you got a bump, a hazard pay.
Hazard something, yeah.
Yeah. But you weren't doing. I don't mislead people that we were putting you in danger.
I was always in danger.
No, you rode a scooter. Okay, I think you're a grown man. You can handle it. Now Scott came. I asked Scott because I loved him to come and do Garden State, and I didn't think that you would say yes because I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna have to spend so much time with this stand-in, my first feature, and it was all the way in New Jersey, and I forgot where did you stay? But you came, and it was awesome. Where did you stay?
I stayed with a friend of mine in like Hoboken. So I was getting, it was such a hard shoot because of that, because I had to get on the train at like 4 a.m. every day, that just getting, and then I think we took like a bus at Midtown, but it took me like an hour and a half to get to the bus. And then we drove into like Jersey. And then I was
oh my God, you were taking the train into Manhattan to get a bus to go back to Jersey.
Yes.
Oh my God. I never knew that.
Because I had to. Yeah, I had to.
I'm so sorry. I would have set up a cot for you in my hotel room.
But no, it was amazing because, you know, you were very loyal. And that's part of like the whole set. You know, I appreciate that. And, you know, the experience was great because, like, you know, I got to meet Natalie Portman and she learned my name. I think I was just remembering this earlier. I think you taught her the Rabidoo song on that set.
Yes, Rabidoo. Where is Rabidoo? And Natalie Portman, we sang that whenever we couldn't find Scott, which wasn't that we exaggerated that we could never find him. He was always right there. But we made up a song where Rabidoo. Where is Rabidoo? Because that's his last name. So are you saying that Natalie Portman serenaded you with the Rabidoo song?
She did at one point, I think.
That's a good memory.
And it seems like, and she also saw me in my underwear because I was in that pool for you. Remember the pool shot?
Yeah.
And I was like super embarrassed that I was a little shriveled at that point, getting in the pool.
So what you're
saying
is,
Natalie Portman is seeing me in my underwear, and I'm like, you know, not prepared for this. But anyway,
so you're saying that you wish that Natalie hadn't seen you in a shriveled situation.
Okay. Yes, exactly. And then, you know, it was a sacrifice for the shot. You were directing. I had to get. It was cold. It was. Dawn.
I know. We tried so hard to get that pool warm, and we had to, because I knew we were gonna have to spend the whole night in it, and it never was warm enough. Everyone was a trooper. But remind me when we get off to send you some cool pictures, because I was looking through old photos and I found pictures of you in the boat that we're in at the very end. I found pictures of you hanging out, and I think you'll be glad to have them.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's great.
All right, but let's get back to the television show Scrubs.
So let's look. Elliot lived with the Babcocks, who were very old and thought she was a ghost. That shit had me rolling.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard at that for some reason. The fact that these old people let Elliot live with her and thought she was a ghost.
But first of all, you're skipping me pulling out the cable box because I was fucking, I was so pissed that you guys were evicting me. That was funny.
This was actually a very funny episode because of that. My wife and I, Zach is our third wheel, or at one point was our third wheel, and we did everything together.
Yeah, I was this guy. Just short of saying sorry about the Toosie, guys.
Just short of saying sorry about the Toosie. Everything together. And so watching this, I was like, you know, and then at the end of the show, you know, the Turk and Carla, they think they're in trouble and everything. But I never questioned my wife and I's relationship based on you being a part of it. But I just remember everywhere we went and everything we did, Zach was always with us. And so watching this, it's like, and I remember when Zach wasn't around and we were like, well, what the fuck are we going to do now?
Right. Just like in the show.
Yeah. Just like in the show.
And I love how they're like, they were so happy to get rid of me.
Because they just wanted to fuck. That's all. Yeah, they just wanted to fuck. Without
they wanted to
having
fuck in the kitchen. They wanted to fuck in the kitchen. They did it once and then they were like, we miss TD.
Right.
Basically, the plot of this episode is Turk and Carla want to fuck in the kitchen. They kick JD out. They fuck in the kitchen. They miss JD. They invite him back.
I get it, man. Yo, my adult kids live with me right now. You know what I mean? And I love it when my daughter goes to her boyfriend's house and freaking my son, he's in school right now. I love when they're gone and it's just me and my wife in the house. Because we get to do shit that we don't normally get to do. And it's such a great feeling to have that moment. But then after a while, yeah, we can fuck in the kitchen.
I always remember that. Remember that monologue in When Harry Met Sally, Donald, one of your favorite movies? When she's when she's talking about having sex on the tile floor.
Yeah, fuck in the kitchen. She said, we never had sex in the kitchen. And he's like, you never had sex in the kitchen? She's like, oh no, you'd hate it. The floor was made out of tile.
The tile is so cold. Oh, so cold.
No doubt.
We should mention that our guest star is Michael Boatman, who is very funny, and one of the another one of the Spin City cast, all stars came to visit us.
Yeah, he did a great job on this also.
Yeah, he really did. I love how he enters by chopper, but they were clearly too cheap to pay for the chopper, so there's no shot of the chopper. It's just like a wind machine and a ladder drops.
And a ladder that drops out of nowhere.
Like, guys, come on. You could have bought a stock shot of a chopper. Like,
you're like, no, we can't. We're broke. We spent all of the money.
Yeah. What about when I randomly say I banged your first girlfriend, Chantel? Because I'm mad.
No, you go, I banged your first girlfriend. I go, Chantel?
Yeah, that's so funny. Because I'm trying to spite you. I'm like, I banged your first girlfriend. You go, Chantel?
Chantel?
But then we never talk about it again. We just move on.
That's it. That's a wrap.
That's funny.
So this is the first time you see toe or finger, man.
I laughed every time. When you're... friggin' foot is in Sarah's face.
Face,
oh my gosh.
I laughed out loud because he misses JD and Sarah's like the surrogate who's over to be like, I can be fun too. And then you see Donald's foot come in because he's trying to relive the experience with Elliot.
And she goes, I told you, Turk, I don't want to play toe or finger. And then immediately Turk goes, babe, I thought that we'd tell Elliot to leave, man.
What about the shot?
I love that she says that it's always toe.
It's always toe.
What about, I laughed out loud when I'm riding the scooter with Rowdy on the back and Rowdy has a helmet on.
Yes. Yeah, I will say, I remember that episode because, you know, like we were explaining the role of a stand-in. So the DP, when John was like setting these shots, he would be like, Rabidu, it's not working. Do you have Rowdy? And he would be like, props, bring in Rowdy. So I'd have to stand in holding Rowdy for 30, 45 minutes under hot lights and like sort of, and I don't know if you noticed that.
Dog under hot lights.
Yeah, I don't know. He had this aroma. I don't know if
how
it was
dare
like
the, you, sir.
Well,
how
I just mean,
dare Rowdy you. Had a smell. Rowdy
covering,
a smell.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the prop department covering maybe
he
the
probably smelled like a cologne because they were covering him with cologne.
But
he was a dead animal, you know.
He was, but it didn't. You know, it was like an homage to him. I get it. It wasn't gross in the moment. You know, it was like an homage to this pet.
It's never discussed why JD was able in the divorce was able to get Rowdy, Donald. I guess I must have been the one who paid for him or something.
You'd probably snatched Rowdy too. There's no way Carla was going to let Rowdy stay in the apartment also.
I do think it's funny that's probably why Carla hated Rowdy. Yeah. I do think it's funny that the only thing I took was the cable box and Rowdy.
Yeah, that's what.
I love that you go to all of these different places too to stay. And
right.
The one place that you decide on for one night is staying with the Todd.
Oh, that's the funniest part of the episode. Hammocks. That's the funniest part of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he says the Todd is not accustomed to receiving gentlemen callers.
Yeah, I laughed out loud. Oh my gosh.
And then the picture of all of the people on the swimming team, and you're like, which one of you?
I don't swim. No, because there's the pick of all the swimmers, and I go, oh, which one is you? And total deadpan, he goes, oh, I don't swim.
That was hilarious.
Oh my god. And then he shows all his banana hammocks in a lit closet, like it has lights in it.
Yeah.
And they're all lined up and he goes, what are you? About a medium? And I go, extra medium.
Extra medium.
This will fit.
And he goes, this'll do. And it's gonna look great. What does he say? It's gonna look good.
Yeah.
That's the funniest fucking shit, man. Donald and I have been rewatching this show, you guys, and we have a whole new respect for Rob. Like
Rob, man.
Yeah.
Rob steals every episode.
Every episode Rob is in, his line is the funniest line of the episode every time. And I remember when we were shooting this, I remember being like, there goes Rob running line again. Look at him running line. But dude, he delivers every fucking time.
We were always making fun of him, like, oh, come on, Rob, you running line again? And now we're rewatching it. Good thing he ran line. He's fucking hilarious.
He's fucking hilarious. Yeah. Dude, we have a caller.
Yes. So, guys, I know you don't listen to the show or you pretend to, but we take a caller. Renee, I believe you at least. So we take a caller, as you know, and we give them two questions. I don't know why Daniel and Joelle have decided not to attend this episode. Why do you guys hate our friends?
You don't want to meet the gang?
Yeah.
This is the ultimate hangout fest. I don't want to
interrupt. Did you guys break off into a separate room?
No.
No.
I'm here enjoying the laughs. Focus on each other. We didn't
want
to.
No. Well, I want you guys to meet our friends and get to know and love them. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have a guest, and then we're going to talk to the guest, and it's going to be delicious. Here we go. We'll be right back. And we're back!
We are back!
All right, bring in the guests. Don't be shy, Renee, Scott, and Deontay. You're going to share your knowledge of Scrubs, and we're also going to do a segment called Fix Your Life, where we give them really great psychological help.
Here comes Ian. That.
Here comes Ian.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Ian!
That's thunderous applause for Ian.
Wow,
Ian,
what up?
Welcome,
everybody.
Ian. This is the biggest assemblage of people we've ever had on the show at one time, right, Joelle? And I don't know if you've been briefed, Ian, but these three lovely people were our stand-ins. The handsome man in blue, the particularly handsome man in blue was my stand-in. And Renee was Sarah's, and that handsome man with the, are those dreads or twists, Deontay?
Yes.
With the twist.
Trying to grow them out again. Yeah. Dude, you went from twists to bald to twists to bald to twists again.
That's my quarantine hair.
And you might remember Deontay is the only person in 9 years of Scrubs to wear puka shells on the show. if you're ever curious what Deontay looks like, just go back to your Scrubs episodes and you'll see he's the African-American wearing puka shells.
Not only were they puka shells, they were chokers, too.
Yes,
he would wear a choker puka shell.
Choker puka shell.
Nice, nice.
Oh, my God.
I like to think it's because he got it as a child and then grew into it. And became very tired. Back when they were
in, Zach. I miss you.
I love you. All right. So, Ian, where are you calling from, sir?
I'm in a town called Westchester, Pennsylvania. We're about, 45 minutes west of Philly.
Okay, well, okay. Welcome to the program.
Westchester, PA in the motherfucking house.
Yes,
appreciate that.
That's you should make that your ringtone when you hear this back.
let me make it one more time.
Yeah, make it clean for him. Wait, ready? Go.
Westchester, PA in the motherfucking house.
Yeah, there you go. If you
solid.
Would, if you're tech savvy or make that your ringtone or enlist someone who is in your family, and that should be your ringtone.
I give that to anybody in Westchester. It's free.
Yes,
from
if
me
you
too.
Live in Westchester, you're also welcome to use that.
It's an amazing town. Come out sometime.
I don't think that will ever happen. I don't sorry, think Ian. That, sorry, you know, listen, I've only got about 45 years left. I just don't know if Westchester, Pennsylvania is on the list. As I weigh Rome. No. all right. So, what's your question for us, sir? And I hope it's something that these wonderful people can weigh in on as well.
Yeah. I'd love to hear from everyone here. And super honored. Thank you for having me.
Dude, we're so happy you're on, man.
We're happy you're here, and it all has to do with that beautiful freckled lady right there who's smiling because she had a very nice date. But we'll talk about that later.
Oh, fascinating. Oh. And Joelle said in the email, she's like, "Hey, I don't think Donald will be on with you." And I was like, "That's fine. I might not get my intro, but then to come in, first thing I hear is Donald giving me that solid intro. So I appreciate that.
That's how it goes."
All right, go ahead.
Yeah. So my question basically is just so I'm an educator, and you know, in my role, like we're always reflecting on what we do. The second we finish teaching, like we're our worst critics, and we're always picking apart. Like there's nobody. I don't think any teacher feels like they did a phenomenal job once they leave a lesson. And I'm curious in your roles, how you feel when you're done. Like, do you feel, have you walked off a set? Have you walked off a scene where you're like, man, and I've heard you say like, it's in the can, we're good. But I've been fascinated too to hear your comments of like, some of it sounds like you, like, I guess my question is, like, do you go back and watch that before it goes live, or no. When do you get a chance to, like, kind of watch your craft in action?
So what you're saying is actually something that a lot of actors do, and you can't help but do it. Mm-hmm. So I'll have, let's, whether it be an audition or you have the job, at the end of the day, as an actor, for me, I always reflect on what I did. You know what I mean? I think back, what did I do? You know, what's usable, what's not usable. And then all of a sudden, jokes start to come. And or the way I said it, a different cadence or a different emotion comes. And I say, oh, I could have did it this way. Like, oh, man, this joke would have been really funny if I would have said this instead. Or I wonder if they have the one where I... So that always happens. Now, that doesn't mean I think I did a bad job, but I definitely feel like I don't always, you know, leave it all out there. I don't get it all out because there's so much more after you're done. And hindsight is 20/20, as we all know. So yes, in my experience, I do that all the time where it's like, I think I did a good job, but if I just had one more day to think about it, I probably could have done better.
You know, I would go often to the edit suite on Scrubs. It was on the first floor, and I wanted to learn, you know, about filmmaking, and but I also wanted to sort of see what they were putting in, because, you know, we would do so many different versions, and ultimately it would be up to Bill what was going to go in the show. And as he and I became closer, I would campaign for things I like, you're not going to put that in. That was the whole crew, you know. Sometimes Bill wasn't on set, so he, at the time we were doing something, so he wouldn't know that, like, you know, we don't have a live studio audience, obviously, so we only have the crew and these guys here, obviously. So we would judge it by, like, oh, dude, the whole crew and the stand-ins, everyone was cracking up. Why didn't you use that? So you're sort of jockeying to get the version you think is best in. But you have to sort of let it go, because it's not, you know, it's not, unless you're the director or the showrunner, it's not really up to you. That's something you have to get used to as an actor. Different from being a theater actor is that you do it all these different ways, and then you give it off to someone and say, oh, please don't make me look bad. Please make me look good. And you might see a cut. You know, sometimes we've all experienced this as actors, that you watch it and you go, oh, what happened? Why was that so much funnier on the day? Because it's all made in the edit room. You know, Johnny C used to jokingly go, we'd finish a scene and it had gone well. And I've said this on the podcast, our main editor was named Jean-Michel, and he'd go, we gave Jean-Michel some ammo. And he'd sort of cockily stroll off. And I remember thinking, like, yeah, we gave Jean-Michel ammo, but I hope he
puts it together properly.
Fires the gun correctly. Right. You know?
And Johnny C, if he didn't feel like he did something right, he'd yell again. Like, he'd scream.
Yeah.
It.
Well, yeah, that's one. You're absolutely right about that, Renee. That's one person who, I believe when Johnny was done, he was like, I got everything out that I wanted to get out. There was no, I didn't, I left it all on the table for them to work with.
We made up a song for Sarah, and because no matter how many... The directors on our show were always great, and they do something that actors love, which is, hey, I'm good to move on. Are you okay to move on? To the actor, they would say that. And the actor could be like, yeah, I'm good. I think I got no other ideas. Let's move on. But Sarah, without fail, would go, one more. And so we started calling her Sarah One Morsey. Do you guys remember this song?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah One Morsey. Sarah One Morsey. She wants one more when she's had five.
Yes, I remember that.
Sarah One Morsey was one of our jams.
Yeah. I think too, like, there's like that, you know, there'd be like that immediate feedback that, you know, in between takes versus looking at stuff after we've moved on, you know, later. I think a lot of times me and Donald would talk in between takes. And, you know, because he trusted that, you know, as his friend and as his stand-in, he trusted me. And, you know, we kind of discussed sometimes, like, you know, that take or did I hit this, you know. And I think that really, hopefully that helped him out.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Between takes.
Absolutely. And that's true. Like, it's always great to have somebody who's not in the, who's pretty much got your back to bounce ideas off of it.
Yeah, I never knew that you guys did that. That's awesome.
Yeah,
Scott, where the fuck was my pep talk?
You didn't ask. You never asked.
Well, I'm asking now.
Okay. I also had
you
trouble.
You were always perfect.
You got to remember. Either. I don't ask either. I just gave it to you.
I also had a problem remembering lines, and so... Deontay would help me with my lines.
You didn't have a problem memorizing lines. You chose to not memorize your lines.
And that is a problem, sir.
Yeah. The problem you had was that you were playing video games instead of memorizing your lines.
Yes. Or at the club.
Or at the club.
How did you do that? We would be at the club until like 4 o'clock in the morning, and Zach would still be able to get to work and know his lines and shit. I used to be like,
"Well,
we say that
it happened all the time. That probably happened like 5 times that we were like out that late over the course of this time." But it happened where the two of us were out that late. I would never go out. Like if I was going out, I would. And we were stupid and young. I would not do it on a night before I had like a big monologue or something. You would go out and be like, "What are we doing?" And I'd be like, "You have a 1-page monologue." And you'd be like, "What now?"
I should probably go look at this.
Awesome. All right, Ian, what's your next question?
I think coming from a lens of music, I have a fix my life that I could definitely use some help with. But I think in terms of like this question, there are moments when I watch a show that things just hit me heavy, and the music in the background just plays such a pivotal part. I don't know how many people watch Handmaid's Tale on here.
I've
seen season 2 of Handmaid's Tale, and they bring everybody out. Spoiler alert, maybe. They bring all the handmaids out, and they're about to hang them, and there's a song in the background. I still can't listen to that song without like getting a little like fully emotional.
Yeah.
And I think just like I would love to hear any of your thoughts in terms of, A, if you've experienced, like, what experiences you've had with that, watching, like, just being a participant as a viewer of a movie or show. And then also, if you've been a part, for anyone who's been a part of, like, the musical selection or recommendation, like, songs that you've kind of just, like, pocketed and brought out for that moment, if that makes sense?
Zach is the king of soundtracks, so he'll probably have a better answer for this. But I remember, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, right? And I remember at a very young age knowing that the music was... Yeah, you didn't know that, Zach? I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
No, but, let me write that down. Donald likes Star Wars.
Loves Star Wars. Anyway, but at a very young age, I realized that the music was very important for movies. So when I went and saw Jaws for the first time, I wasn't scared of the shark coming out of the water and seeing, you know, the gore and all of that stuff. What scared me was da-dun, da-dun, dun-dun, 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 dun-dun. And so I would cover my ears for that. I would cover my ears and still look at the screen because the screen wasn't what was scary. The music or the Foley effect was. And so to this day, yes, I know the importance of music. I will say this. My first experience of a good song in a movie has got to be like, I want to say it's sick. What's ba 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 ba?
I know that
this must be true. Ba 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 ba.
What is that?
Now, was that 16 Candles? What was that from?
It's Spandau Ballet, right? Is that the song? Is that the
I don't
artist?
Know who sings the song. All I know is hearing that song with two people on a table with a 16 birthday candle birthday cake.
Oh, it must have been 16 candles.
I think it had to be that. I think that's what it is. I love that
you're like, I have no idea what movie it was, but they were sitting with 16 candles
on a birthday cake on a table. Anyway.
I don't know how we'll ever get to the bottom of this, but...
I don't know if that was the movie, but there was something about that that really held weight. And, you know,
it was glory. It was glory.
It was right. If a movie gets that right, if the movie can find that moment and get that right, it's phenomenal. You know,
I agree. And Scrubs did that a lot, Ian. And I can only take credit for a few of them. We've said this before. Krista Miller was a huge part of it. There were certain writers on our staff, including Neil Goldman. Of course, there were lots of other people who submitted ideas, and I occasionally got some on. It really can move. Think of it, if your emotion is sort of wavering, if you're on the fence, like, am I going to fully go there or not? The song just sort of gently pushes you, you know?
Yeah.
And when you're trying songs out in the edit room, you can literally line up 40 of your favorite songs. And you're like, this is my favorite song. I mean, why would I not choose? And then you try it and just nothing happens. You're like, eh, it's meh. And then you just keep going. And it's just a magical reaction happens. I always point to the hair on my arms going up, because you'll be watching it. And all of a sudden, when it's right, you get goosebumps down your arms and you go, well, that, and I remember pointing to Bill a lot of times and I'd be like, well, that's a candidate, because something magical just happens.
I know, on set, you know, you don't hear, there's no music, right? No music cue put in yet when they're filming. And I just remember a lot of times sitting there watching a scene that's pretty sad. I'm like, yeah, that scene's kind of sad. And then later on, post editing, you actually watch the episode and I'm over here bawling.
A perfect example for me is when Turk is having a hard time figuring out his vows, at the wedding ceremony for the rehearsal dinner. He's having a hard time figuring out what he's going to say. And his brother-in-law has tricked him into saying the When Harry Met Sally in the monologue that Billy Crystal does at the end of When Harry Met Sally. And then he's off in the corner with JD and he's like, I just don't get it. You know, everything with Carla, it just seems like perfect when such and such, and when I'm around her, I blah, blah, blah. And I just can't get over. And JD looks at him and goes, well, why don't you just say that? And I turn to her and the music that plays at that moment is Gavin DeGraw's, oh, this is the start of something good.
Follow through.
Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Right? And when I remember seeing that with Judy and I watched that that episode together, and she had seen it already. And when that happened, I think we were doing was that a fart, Daniel?
No, I think my table squeaked.
Ian, we prefer Ian. If our guests don't fart.
This is what happens in Westchester.
I'm definitely not coming to Westchester, Pennsylvania.
No, but anyway, so that moment is so powerful, just from the lyrics alone. I didn't even know the song. I had to go and buy the song after, just so I could hear what the entire song was. And
yeah.
Music right. plays such a big part in cinema and television.
Course, Winter in Scrubs, I think in the episode Everyone Loves, is a Josh Radin's song was a huge example on the Scrubs. I think I've said this before, but I always point to me, one of the most significant moments in television song placement was Sia's Breathe Me in the at the 6 Feet Under finale. I don't know if you've seen that show.
Oh, yeah.
I got so many of them. Freaking Adventures in Babysitting with What Did You Think I Would Do at This Moment?
Family Ties uses that too. Love that.
Yeah, same one. Family Ties did the same thing, right? When he breaks up with the girl for the first time and he's writing her a letter.
Yeah.
When I'm standing before me, P.S. Love, and he
wasn't
crosses
the girl,
it out.
Wasn't the girl Courtney Cox?
No, it was his wife. Courtney Cox came after.
Oh, okay.
So if I can say, beyond songs, like the power of a composer is just, you know, unmatched. I mean, because I'm working on a project now. I just started working with a composer. And you have, you know, Zach, you know this. Like if you're dealing with a rough cut or, you know, a radio edit or something that has no music or sound effects, it's like it doesn't have that life, obviously. And a composer, not only can they give you that feeling, it can take a turn. So like if you want to sort of like have this shift in emotion, they can do those sort of like variable things that's custom to your picture.
It's bespoke. Yeah,
right. It's bespoke to your picture that a song can't. Composers, you know, Scrubs, any television show, they're doing such volume too. It's like I have so much respect for them.
Well, with Scrubs, you know, Jan our composer did a fine job, but there was, you know, you're cranking out so many that they would use a lot of the same, as we all joke, we'd use a lot of the same cues. Ba 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 ba. Or when you needed a quick sting, bow.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
I think
you do bow.
Bow.
Yeah.
I always joke that one day Bill was like, hey, I need a quick sting here. And Jan was like, stretching. Okay, let me do my work for today. Bow. There you go. All right, it's time for West Chester, Pennsylvania's favorite segment. It's time to
fix your life.
Guys, Renee, Scott, and Deontay, put your therapist hats on. We are all here to help you, Ian. Go ahead.
And I appreciate you taking this question. So today happens to be me and my wife's 18-year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. Wow. Wow.
Anniversary.
Yeah, wedding anniversary or dating
anniversary?
Wedding anniversary,
yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good work. So thank you. Yeah, so the timing of this is like super ironic because this is the question I've been wanting to get forever. The day I married my wife, I said to her, I'm a big, back in the day, man, I used to make mixtapes like nobody's business. And I would look at like the timing of everything, make sure that there was enough time and minutes and seconds and everything in here. She's coming in here. She doesn't.
Yeah. Let her come in.
Come on over here.
She can come in. It's your anniversary.
Here, I'll go to it.
You'll have to share. Oh, you can pull it out. It's okay.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah, we got
yes.
you.
Yeah.
Hi.
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 How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Happy anniversary.
Great. Happy anniversary to you guys.
Oh, thank you.
So Zach, Donald, Scott, Deontay, Renee,
Renee, yeah.
Joel.
Yeah, Joel
all
checked
part
out
of his podcast. This all happened last night. We're on this podcast. I've been emailing them. You know I listen to this nonstop.
Hamilton.
No, Scrubs.
Scrubs.
She said Hamilton.
I'm sorry. I'm so embarrassed.
I love it. I love that she thought I was Lin-Manuel.
Oh my God. I didn't even see your name there.
There's too many white people. Too many white people for Hamilton. Yeah.
All right. Welcome. Happy anniversary.
When we got married, I made a promise. Every year I make her a mixtape.
Okay.
Now it's obviously going to like a streaming service and like YouTube playlists or whatever. But so... as I continue to put these together, like we've had a crazy year. And so I'm always trying to look for like, I need a jam. I need a really good song that we can add to this list. I love this one.
Oh.
And I just need help kind of like, I'm looking for any inspiration.
Okay.
I mean, the list of songs goes from like hip hop to old school to modern stuff to Donald, you were talking about that 16 Candles song could be on there. I'm looking for ideas, something to just...
Well, you know my favorite one, and you probably use it already, but it's by Method Man and Mary J. Blige. You're all...
good one.
I need to get by. Shorty, I'm there for you anytime you need me. For real, girl, it's me in your world. Believe me, nothing make a man feel better than a woman. Cream with a crown, I'd be down for whatever. There are a few things that's forever. My lady, we can make war or make babies. I'm just saying, that's a good one.
Okay. Why don't we all go around and recommend a song for their romantic list? I'll give you guys a chance to think about it or go through your phones and look at something you play a lot. I just discovered this new song. By the way, I've been watching American Idol this season, and I haven't watched American Idol in years. And
since Kelly?
No, I've seen it since then, but it's been a long time since I truly watched it. And this season, you know, we stumbled into it, and it's really good. There's some genuine talent. And I like that they keep it sort of young. The oldest person's 26 and the youngest person's 15. And some of them are just like, you cannot believe their voices. But anyway, one of them sang a song that I've been listening to nonstop. It's Ben Rector, Brand New. And it's sort of poppy rock, but it's just so life affirming. And it just gets you amped up and makes you excited to take on the day. So that's my suggestion for this moment, because I've been listening to it a lot. Ben Rector, Brand New. Daniel,
and
your
also,
turn.
Wait, one last thing. That When Harry Met Sally soundtrack has a bunch of really good songs on it, whether it's It Had to Be You or that, yeah, you can't go wrong. It's a lot of Ray Charles, too, on it as well.
You were only asked for one song, but thank you.
That was kind of cliche, but I love that Endless Love song still. I don't care. Endless Love, that song.
Endless Love from Deontay. Okay, Daniel.
This is a song by one of my favorite newish artists, a guy named Gabriel Garcon Montaño, and the song is called 6-8, and it's kind of like a weird rhythm, but the weird rhythm is about the weird rhythm of love, and it's a song that, you know, the music matches the theme and the tone. It's a really good song. Just called Six Space Eight. Six,
also, eight. Bruno Mars, Leave the Door Open.
Donald, that's fine. Donald,
I'm saying. I'm saying.
You had your turn. All right.
That Rabidu. Bruno Mars song is fire.
Rabidu. So
I will say this song was played at my wedding. It's the Beatles. You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. I love that song.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
It's, that is, you know, that's something that, you know, the first time I listened to it, you can, like, I don't know, something about it. And it was played at my wedding, so I feel I have to add it as a tribute to my wife if she's listening to this.
I'm sure she doesn't listen.
Well, she doesn't listen to it if you don't listen to it. That's for sure.
Now, Renee, are you going to suggest something from a country album because you're in Texas?
No. Yeah. I have to say anything Sting does. I love.
Okay.
Also, You Can Do Magic by America is one of my favorite songs.
Keep going.
Sing it, Renee.
I'm not a singer.
Renee is actually, Ian, Renee is an incredible dancer. Renee, if you back up, would you do a dance for their anniversary?
Oh, I don't have my dance pants with me.
Okay.
And it's not Wednesday.
Okay.
It's not Wednesday.
Right, did everybody go? Joelle, did you go?
I have a country song. It's from Kacey Musgraves, who does, like, she's like the spiritual follow-up to Willie Nelson. But she sometimes does, like, these psychedelic songs, and I love her. And she has a song called Golden Hour, and it is so beautiful. And just about, you know, your love being like a sunrise, and it's just, it's pretty and sweet.
And then Kane Brown has a wonderful song called Heaven. I don't know
we're all looking through our phones now, looking for, like, songs.
Kane Brown. Everybody's talking, like, about heaven, like it's some place to go. That's a good one, too. Lying here with you, lying next to you. It's a great song.
You know what my
can
favorite
sing
song?
To me all day. That'd
my
be great.
Favorite song is the Joelle Monique is Down to Get Down song. Oh, that's
matter of fact.
I think you should put that on your little mixtape. The Joelle Monique is Down to Get Down song.
And okay. Zach, didn't you listen to Michelle Branch a lot?
We talked about Michelle on the show. In fact, we were DMing, and I thought I was going to get her to come on and sing "You're Everywhere to Me."
She was like, "That's going to cost you about $50,000, though."
Yeah,
yes, sir.
I don't know. We were having a nice chat, and then I was like, "Do you want to come on the podcast and sing Everywhere acoustic?" And then she never replied.
She was like,
"All right, thank you, guys. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, and thank you for coming on. And have a wonderful
happy anniversary."
I apologize that we're not the cast of Hamilton, but you will,
I'm totally confused. I was folding laundry and having a glass of wine.
You will find when you see Hamilton, there are a few more African Americans in their cast, but we're a good second best.
I was just happy that she thought I was Lin-Manuel.
I don't think she thought you were Lin-Manuel.
I bet you she did. Yeah. She thought I was Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I did.
See?
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
So, you guys, we're going to wrap it up soon. I thought it was funny that I try and enroll you guys into a foursome into bed with me and Kylie.
I thought it was hilarious when you walk by the trumpet player and you go, "Bye, trumpet player."
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. He said, "Bye, trumpet player. I don't know. Now I know why your music is so sad."
Yeah, I made that up too.
Was that Emperor? Yeah, that was me.
I made that up too. I was on fire in this episode. Let's be honest.
I also laughed at, "It's so hot."
Yeah. And then the janitor comes out and goes, "This should not have been removed."
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then, I like the part too, the Sam Lloyd. I mean,
yes.
Right. Sam Lloyd. Right. We could use a buffer between me and my mom.
Well, I hope you guys had fun. We love you. We miss you. Maybe you'll come back on again if you had a good time.
Yeah. Very fun. Oh, yes. God, yeah.
Do you guys have anything you want to plug or promote?
So yeah, if you guys have anything you want to talk about,
Scott,
or plug,
go ahead, plug your shit.
Time.
I have something I want to plug, actually. Can I?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'm finishing up my first documentary feature. So, Zach, you know how difficult that process is.
I do.
I've been working on it for like 4 years. And the film is actually about a relative of mine. His name is Billy Dean Anderson. He was a criminal, but also an outsider artist who escaped a maximum security prison and went to live in a Tennessee cave for 4.5 years while he was on the run. And so in the cave, he painted, sculpted, kept a journal. So my sort of intent with the project is to shift the focus away from his criminality, which the locals sort of prop up as this like he's as this defiant sort of folk hero figure, and shift focus to his art and his creative life, and sort of show the power of his art to reconnect him to his humanity.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah, that's I'm working with a composer now, and like in the final stages.
All right, so you're just telling everyone to look out for it when it's done, is what you're saying?
Yes, I have. Right, what's the title? I have a website. It's called A Long Hard Streak, which is not pornographic in any way. It's it's actually a piece of his writing. It's like a.
Oh my God! My brain did not go to something pornographic.
Mine either. That was crazy.
Now it
dude.
Did. Yeah.
Right. Thanks, Scott.
No, it's a hard
it's
about
a section. It's a section of his writing. It's like a phrase from his poetry.
Okay, and what's the website where people can check out your work?
It's longhardstreak.com.
Longhardstreak.com, everyone. Yes. Check out the legendary Scott Rabideau's documentary, which sounds very interesting. I'll be the first person watching it when you're done. Deontay, Renee, Google anything results. You want
to? No, I just want to, you know, I'm not plugging anything. I just want to say, I want to plug you guys and just say thanks a lot for having us on. Thanks a lot for, you know, the years on Scrubs. You guys probably don't even realize, you know, we're standing in, so we're watching all the time. That's all we do. We're there 14 hours a day. Mm-hmm. I learned so much from you, Zach, and you, Donald, and Bill, and the directors, and all the writers. I couldn't ask for a better place to actually learn comedy. You guys don't know, like after the show ended, I went on to stand in on other shows, mostly sitcoms, and every show I went to, I would end up getting a part because I would do the run through for something that's not cast, and they would be like, wow, this guy gets it and gets comedy. And it was because of the training I got on Scrubs every day. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you.
You went off and did improv for a bit too, though, didn't you?
I did. Neil Flynn, you know, I just thought he was hilarious, and he put me onto his Improv Olympic studio, and I went there for a couple years and did all their levels of training and shows over there. So I mean, I was going to work with you guys 12-14 hours a day, leaving there, going straight over to do improv. So for years I felt like I just got the best training that you could possibly get, and it just led me, you know, it just led me to get more work just because of you guys. And you guys are always so generous.
Out
there, you guys don't know, I would have auditions and these guys, like almost everyone on the cast, like, what are you doing today, D? I'm like, oh, I got an audition at noon. They're like, well, let's see it. And they would help me. So it was just amazing. I couldn't.
Well, we always rooted for all you guys, and we love you. And I'm so happy to see you. I mean, I really miss you guys. And I look at you, and I have a smile creep across my face because I think of all the fun times we had together.
Renee, is there anything you wanna?
Well, no, I'm a stay-at-home mom now, and well, homeschooling because of COVID. But yeah, Scrubs, it helped me. After I left Scrubs, I was a PR director for an arts foundation in school, and of course, being on Scrubs helped me to, you know, be a good PR person because I was so used to, you know, it kind of gave me the confidence and the background to feel solid in that career, and that I did that for many years until I became a stay-at-home mom. And to this day, I mean, I would ask Andy Rawson why he lit things certain ways, why he did that, how he got rid of shadows. And I can take great photos of my daughter.
Yes.
Because every single person on Scrubs had a camera, had a Leica, had a this, had a that, and they were all doing these things, and you just couldn't help but get it was like a course.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A private course.
I feel the same way. I think about how much I learned from people on that show, and even for me, it's often obviously Bill, but a lot of the directors. I mean, so much I learned about comedy directing from it was like a grad school. We all got to learn from all these really, really talented people.
Yeah. Yeah, Zach. I mean, I echo exactly what Deontay said.
Oh, now you're going to get on Deontay's tip.
No, but in the sense of being behind the camera, because, you know, obviously our job was to stand there and we basically observed, and I got to see camera, lighting, sound, how the sausage was made. And obviously, Zach, watching you was amazing. And I learned so much from you as you were learning from other people. And it was just this environment where, you know, it was, everything was so open. You know, I think I strapped the Steadicam on a few times and everyone just let you learn and let you do what you needed to do. And it's really like helped me in this sort of like one man band type filmmaking I do now.
Awesome.
Well, Last question, and then I'll let this go. I'm sorry, Zach. Have you guys worked with other people from the show since the show?
I worked with Janae. Mm-hmm. Janae, writer. Mm-hmm. I worked with her on a sitcom for about 4 or 5 years, right after Scrubs ended. That's about it, though. That's the only person I've really seen.
Well, guys, thank you. What do we want to say as we wrap up, Joelle? Let's not forget anything. Oh, there's socks in the merch store, guys. We have fancy socks.
Yeah, if you feel like you want to put your foot in my face.
I saw that.
Yes, if you guys want to step on me and Donald's faces, you can.
Even if you don't want to step on us, even if you want to use it at, never mind.
No, it's not. Once it's in your possession, you know, we've told you how we had to sometimes strategically hide our junk in a sock when doing a sex scene. You can put this on your junk.
I was going to say, if you want to, you can take the sock and wrap it around your junk.
Yeah, whatever you want to do with it. Once it's in your hand.
Once you possess said socks.
Yeah. Please do not send us pictures of the socks.
I don't want dick pics. We don't want them.
But you go, I love Joelle's like doing a deadpan no face. Go to the merch shop, which is cottonbureau.com. And if you put into the search fake doctors, real friends, you will find the socks. And they're dope. We still have badge pulls if you're someone who needs a badge on. Those are cool.
Also, we're going to re-up on new things in the merch store.
Yes, we're talking about new stuff. Joelle, anything I'm forgetting?
Guys, the whole rotation of episodes will be done. I know some of you are very upset, like you're confused, but don't worry. This is 218. We're going to hop back to 217.
418. 417.
418. Oh, sorry, guys.
Start it again, Joelle. Just start it again for clarity.
Yeah, I know a lot of you guys are worried about missing episodes or trying to watch and be on time with everything. So as Zach mentioned at the top of the show, we will be going back and catching up. So you will get 416, 417, and 418 total. Just be patient.
And we're gonna put out the live show on audio.
That is how you will get 416.
Yeah, that's gonna come too. So don't fret. It's all coming out. We love you. We care about you. Donald, what else?
Oh my gosh, there's so many things I could say right now. But
I could keep talking to these three forever. Yeah. I mean, I miss you guys.
Important, well, if you're ever in Austin,
you guys, I mean, if you're ever in Austin, I don't live
that far from
Austin's
the city
Austin.
I'll be in, yes. Austin,
I
can
actually go to Austin every now and then, so okay.
One day, you guys, we really got to have a big-ass reunion, like a real in-person reunion.
Totally. Sure.
Yes.
Well, I'm in Burbank. So I'm close, guys.
I've never heard of that. Pasadena. That's
Rabbit, where are you at nowadays?
Pasadena. Oh,
so why don't you guys hang out, Deontay? Why don't you go play with his kids?
I know.
COVID.
Me and Rabbit did hang out for a while and just kind of, you know, got life busy for a minute.
All right.
Well, yeah, he got married and had kids.
I get it.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time. Donald.
5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about show we